The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sota has been dedicated by our good friends and Talmid, Mr. Haimi and Dina Dana, Hashem Yishmonem V'Chayim, for the success of their children, and especially the Fu'as Shelema Moshe Ben Dina, ולעילוי נשמת יוסף בן סרינה, דוד בן פרידה, נעיר בן זוהרה, משה בן פייגה רות, שרה בת אסתר, פייגה רות בת אסתר, אל אסתר בת יוכבת. רוח השם תניחם בגן עדן, אמן. תזכו למצוות. דף למזיין. Today's daf is being studied, לעילוי נשמת מרת זקנתי, יפה בת שרה, אומר זקני, יוסף בן שרה. ונשמת אברהם בן אסתר, רוח השם תנחם בגן עדן, אמן. Today's daf is being studied לרפואה שלמה. שרה רוחמה בת רחל, ושרה בת רחל, משה בן דינה, משה בן רחל. אין נא רפואה להם, רפואת הנפש, ורפואת הגוף, ורפואת העם, כרובה לבו. וכן ירסום על אמר אמן, ובגין today's daf על נמד וו עמוד בית, and we are beginning with the Gemara on the bottom of the Amud, two lines on the bottom, Yehuda Mahi. We learned in the previous Gemara that Yehuda, as well as Yosef HaSadiq, both were Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. Yosef was Mekadesh Shem Shamayim B'Seter, therefore he was Zochet to get one letter from God's name, the letter He in his name. His name was changed from Yosef to Yehosef. And Yehuda made a Kiddush Hashem in public. Therefore all the letters of his name are the letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has Yudke, Vavke, and his name, Yehuda. So the question then is, where was this Kiddush Hashem that Yehuda accomplished? So the Gemara says, Yehuda, Mai, what is that Kiddush Hashem? Mai, Detanya, Yerbi Mir Omer, Kishyamdu Yisrael Alayam. When the Jewish people were standing at Yam Suf, when they were leaving Egypt, Hayu Shevatim Minatzehim Ze Etze, which means the tribes were competing with each other. And what was this competition? Ze Omer Ani Yored Tehel Aliyam, Veze Omer Ani Yored Tehel Aliyam. Each one was arguing who's going to be the first one to jump into the Yam Suf. So what happened? Kafa Sifto Shel Binyamin. So the child of Binyamin jumped in first. V'yarad liyam techila. Shneimar, the pasuk says in the Tehilim, Sham Binyamin sa'ir rodem, which means there Binyamin, the youngest, rules them. So the Gemara says, Al tikre rodem ela rad yam. Which means rodem, they went into the yam first. Right, Vayu Sare Yehuda Rogmim Otam, and the Sarim, the princes of Yehuda, they were stoning them. Shneimar, like the pasuk says, Sare Yehuda Rigmatam. Right, the princes of Yehuda Rigmatam were stoning them, which means they wanted to go into the sea first. Lefichach Zacha Binyamin Asadik Venaase Ushpizkan Ligmura. As a result, because Binyamin went into the waters first, so he ended up becoming the Ushpizchan, the host to the Shekhinah, which means the Beit HaMikdash is in the section of Binyamin. As a result, that he made the Kiddush Shem Binyamin, he jumped in the waters first, so therefore God rewarded him by putting the Beit HaMikdash in his section. Shnei Emar, Uben Ketefav Shechen. Uben Ketefav Shechen, which means in between his shoulders does he rest, which means in between Binyamin's shoulders, so to speak. That's in his helik, that's where the Beit HaMikdash is built. That is an interesting Tosafot over here. The argument between the tribes of Binyamin and Yehuda at Yam Suf. So Tosfot over brings a famous mashal. Look at the top Tosfot. Kach shenuya beraita b'mechaltin. Mashal, lema davar domeh, demelech basar v'adam shayu lo shne banim. King, he had two sons. Ehad gadol v'had katan. One was older, one was younger. Amar lekatan, amedeni ima netzahama. He told his younger son, wake me up at netzahama. Wake me up at sunrise. Amar legadol, amedeni begimel shot. He told the older son, wake me up at 3 hours. Wake me up at 8 o'clock. Ba katan, amido ima netzahama. So the younger son, you know, got up at netz, to wake up his father at netz. Velo nihogadol. But the older son didn't let him. Amar lo, lo amar li el agim ashot. Hey, your father, the father told us not to wake us up till the 3 hours in the day. The katan amar lo, amar li el netzach amay. No, he told me to wake him up at net. So the children start fighting by the father's bed. What time he's supposed to wake up? In the interim, because they were making so much noise. Mitoch shayu amdim sovin ninar avien. The father woke up. Amar lehen banai mikol makom shenechem lo kivantem ele lechbodi. Both of you, you only had my intention, you only had my kavod in mind. Af ani lo ekapeat secharchem. Masachar natnu shevto shebinyamin. So similar, that's the mashal over here. Which means, Yehuda wants to do the mitzvah, and Binyamin wants to do the mitzvah. So they're both fighting over who's going to do the mitzvah. And I'll explain to you the depth of the mashal, the way I understood it, from the Mefarshim. They say like this, that there was a fundamental machlokot between Binyamin and Yehuda, how the mitzvah should be fulfilled. According to Binyamin, he's the son in the mashal, he's the youngest son in the mashal, that was asked to wake his father up at Netzach HaMah. Now normally a king doesn't wake up at Netzach HaMah, that's supernatural for a king to wake up so early. Binyamin held that the miracle has to be done in a supernatural way, and therefore you have to jump into the waters and let it split immediately, and that's going to be, you know, an open miracle. Whereas Yehuda was the oldest son in the Mashal, where he wants to wake up his father at the normal time. The normal time is at 8 o'clock when the kings get up, which means he held, let the wind blow, because the wind was blowing the entire night and the entire morning before the sea split. So Yehuda held, let the wind blow a little more in order to make the miracle less supernatural, and if he wanted to jump in later, if he was stopping Binyamin in order to do it later. So in the interim, they're both fighting, but they're both fighting the Shem Shammai. One wants to make the miracle in an open way, one wants to make it in a hidden way, one wants to make his father up in the hits in the supernatural way, one wants to make his father up in the normal time. So God says, you know what, you're both fighting for my honor, you're both going to get reward. What was the reward that Tosfot says? So it says, Masachadatu Shevtosh Binyamin Shiarat Tehalalayam Shishatash Shekinah Behalko. Right, the Shekinah rested in this place, and we just read in the Gemara, Shneimar, Umasachan Natos Shevtesh Shel Yehuda Zachal Malchut, and the tribe of Yehuda was zocheh to kingdom. Like it says, Shneimar, Sare Yehuda Rigmatam. Now, Rigmatam literally means they stoned it, but that doesn't mean physically they stoned, which means they were fighting, they were arguing. But the word Rigmatam also is Malchut, Shneimar, Bedin Amar Bishasar, Bishud Daniel Argivana, which means Yehuda got Malchut and Binyamin got the Shekhinah in his place. So that is the Shita, the first Shita. Comes Gemara and continues. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's not how it happened. Lo ka kayam na'aseh. Ela ze omer en ani yored tehila layam. Ve ze omer en ani yored tehila layam. The opposite. Everybody was arguing, they don't want to be the first one. All the tribes were fighting with each other. Not me, not me. What happened? Kafatz Nachshon ben Aminadav was from the tribe of Yehuda. V'yarad layam tehila. And he jumped into the waters first. In the Emar, like the Pasuk says, Sevavuni bechachash Ephraim u'bimirma bet Yisrael. Ephraim surrounded me in falsehood at the house of Israel with deceit. Which means nobody wanted to do the mitzvah. That she says she yaru lismocha alav v'chashu be'emunatam, which means they didn't have faith. They didn't have faith in Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what does the pasuk say? V'Yehuda odrad im el. But Yehuda still ruled with God, which means he still had faith with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'alav mefaresh bekabbalah. And then we have a tradition. What it says in the pasuk, she'eni Elohim. He prayed, please God, bring me a salvation because the waters have reached until my soul. She's when Yehuda, when Nachshon when he walked into the waters went up to his neck. He was going to drown. He said, oh, she'ani Elohim, ki ba'u ma'im ad nafesh. He said, you know, save me, God. And then all of a sudden, once he said that, then the sea spread. I've sunk in the mire of shadowy depths and there is no foothold. Which means, this is what he said when he entered the water. Then he continues, Al tishtefeni shibolet maim, let not the rushing current sweep me away. Al tibla'eni mitzula, no, let the shadowy depth swallow me. Beotasha'a, at that time, haya Moshe ma'arik mitfila. Moshe Rabbeinu was praying a long tefila at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yedidai tov'im bayam. My friends or my beloved ones are drowning in the water. Which is the Jewish people. They're drowning in the water. It's not time for a long-winded prayer.
and you're making a long tefillah, nefanai, amal lefanav rabbonu shel olam, uma biyadi la'asot, well, what do you want me to do? I have to pray that they're saved. Amalo daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yisau, pray to the, tell the Jewish people, travel. V'ata remet matecha utet yadecha, lift up your stick, your hand, and put it over the waters, and let them split. Lefichach zachai Yehuda la'asot memshala b'Yisrael. As a result of that, that was the Kiddush Hashem that we're talking about, that Yehuda jumped into the waters first. That's the Kiddush Hashem that he made in public. If he was zochet to what? To have malchut, to have a sovereignty in Israel. Shene'emar ayeta Yehuda lekodcho Yisrael mamshelotav. Yehuda became God's sanctified one over Israel, his dominions. He ruled over Israel. Why did Yehuda zochet to that? Mishum da'yam ra'ah v'yanos. The next person goes, da'yam ra'ah v'yanos. What did it see? It saw Yehuda. Nachshon ben Amidah, when he ran into the waters, so it saw the self-sacrifice of Yehuda. Therefore, he was zocheh to Malchut, as well as the Gemara said earlier, he was zocheh that his name has all the letters of Havaya in it. Now, it should be noted, there's a famous derasha on this, that when the Moshe Rabbeinu was going out, when the Jewish people were going out of Egypt, so Moshe Rabbeinu was making a tefillah. So God told him, it's too long, what are you making a tefillah? Now's not a time for prayer, now's the time for action. Take the stick and go split the sea. So the Pasuk says, God told Moshe, Mat tetzak elai. What are you screaming? Daber b'nei sevi yisau. So the Midrash writes that God told Moshe Rabbeinu, Lo sha'at tefillah arukah, ve'lo sha'at tefillah ketzara. It's not a time, not for a long prayer, and not for a short prayer. Just go tell the Jewish people to travel. So God was alluding to Moshe Rabbeinu that in his life he's going to have a long prayer, he's going to have a short prayer. What was the long prayer that he had? The prayer that lasted 40 days and 40 nights when he went to pray for the Jewish people after they worshipped the Egel. What was the shortest prayer of Moshe Rabbeinu? When he prayed for his sister Miriam, El na refa na la, the five words when she had leprosy. So the rabbis went and said, Dirasha, he said, Mat tis'ak elai, ma mem he. That Moshe Rabbeinu, the longest prayer was mem, was 40 days and 40 nights, and here is five words. So God said, Mat tis'ak, lo tefillah arukah, velo tefillah ketzara. Not a long tefillah, not a short tefillah. Mat tis'ak elai. The bit of an Israel, the Yisrael comes, the Gemara says, Tanya. רבי אליעזר בן יעקב אומר אי אפשר לומר לוי למטה. We're going back to the episode of Har Gerizim and Har Ebal. The Jewish people came in to Eretz Yisrael on that first day in the times of Yehoshua ben Nun. So they got to the two mountains, Har Gerizim and Har Ebal. Six tribes were on one mountain, six tribes were on the other mountain. The Nabi tells us that the Leviim and the Kohanim were actually down there in between the mountains, okay, with the Aaron. So the Gemara comes along and says, you can't say that the Leviim were down below in between the mountains, because already tells us that they were on top of the mountain. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah, it says, so we know that Levi was on top of the mountain. So how could you tell me he was below? But you can't tell me he was on top of the mountain, because we have another pasuk that tells me he was actually in the middle. Like the pasuk says in the book of Yeshua, V'chol Yisrael uskenav omdim mizeh umizeh la'aron neged the Kohanim v'Leviim, alma Kohanim v'Leviim lemata. So make up your mind, whether Leviim on top of the mountain or whether Leviim at the foot of the mountain. So the Gemara says, Haketzad, how do you square it off? The elders of the Kohanim and the Levim were downstairs. The rest were above. So he wants to make a haluk between the elders and the young ones. Comes the and the pasuk is mashmash right. That goes, "V'chol Yisrael uskenav." Right? So you can midayik the pasuk like that. Rabbi Yoshiya Omer, "Kol ha'ra'uy lesharet lemata." Anybody that was of age to serve, so long as they were still in the age of service, they stayed lemata. What is that age? The age of Levim is between the age of 30 and 50. That's the age that they're able to serve, to carry the Aron. So that whoever was of service age was downstairs. Da she'ar lemala. Rabbi Omer, third shita. Elu ve'elu lemata hem omdim, which means everybody, according to Rabbi, everybody was down, which means Yisrael ve'levi'im lemata, nobody was standing on any mountains. According to Rabbi, Hadush now. Even though we said that there's six on this mountain, six on that mountain, it's not so. Everybody was really on the ground. Hafchu penem klepe argirizim, upatchu beberacha, and then they started with the berachot, they faced argirizim, klepe ar-e'eval, upatchu beklan, they faced ar-e'eval, they opened up with a kilala. Oh, the question is, ma ya'al? But the pasuk says they were al, they were on the mountain. How can you tell me now nobody was on the mountain? Doesn't the pasuk say they were on the mountain al? So comes the Gemara and says, al besamuch. Okay, new interpretation. Sometimes the word al means on, and sometimes that word al means next to. This word al, ar gerizim, al ar ebal, means next to them. Six tribes stood next to one man, and six tribes stood next to another man. How do you know that sometimes the word al means next to or near? So comes the Gemara and says, I'll prove it to you. Kedetanya, look, we have a braita. What does it say about it? La ma'arechet lebona zaka, which means, and you will place on the ma'arechet, which is the table, the shulchan, you will place ma'arechet, you will place lebona. Lebona is frankincense. That was talking about the shulchan where you had the lechem panim. Now we know on the lechem panim, besides the 12 shulchan that were on the table, you had two spoons, and the spoons over there were next to the rack of breads, and in that, those spoons you had frankincense, lebona, that was also on the table. Now we know that the frankincense al. Now we know it was not on the lechem panim, correct? It was near the lechem panim, even though the word al is used. You didn't put it on the stack of breads themselves. The bi omer al besamuch. Ata omer al besamuch eno ela al mamash. So maybe you're going to put it on it directly. Keshu omer v'sakota al aaron. Have you omer al besamuch, which is, you have another pasuk over there that's talking about the parochet. It says the parochet is going to be placed on the aron. And we know the parochet was not placed on the aron. The parochet was a partition. It separated in front of the aron. Even though it says the word ala aron, it means near the aron. So to by the le'am panim, when it says you put the lebona, the frankincense, doesn't mean you put it on the stack of bread. You put it near it. So too when it came to Argenizim and Ar-Ebal, the B says, when it says they stood Al-Har, doesn't mean on the man, it means next to the man. So it comes out we have three shitot over here, the position of how Christ stood at the man. Let's review the three shitot. First shita is the elders of the Levi'im were downstairs and the rest of the Levi'im were upstairs. Second shita, those that were worthy to serve between 30 and 50 were downstairs and everybody else, well, the Levi'im were up. Third shita, Rabbi, everybody, Kohanim, Levi'im, you see, were downstairs. But it says Al. Al means Besamuch. Okay, comes the Gemara now and goes on to a new topic. We discuss now exactly the berachot and the kelalot that were given on that day. Now, let's just review over here. When we talk about constantly about the berit, the covenant that God has made with the Jewish people. This covenant, to become more specific, is the covenant that we made with God to accept the Torah and the mitzvot. But the Gemara now is going to systematically try to explain to us how many covenants did we accept when it comes to the Torah. According to all opinions, it wasn't just one time where we said we accept to fulfill the whole Torah. As we're going to see over here, it was many times God brought us into this covenant over and over again at different locations to accept the Torah. Now, besides accepting each mitzvah, the Gemara is going to tell us that each mitzvah has four components to it, which is we didn't just accept upon ourselves to fulfill the mitzvah. The Gemara is going to tell us that we accepted upon ourselves to fulfill the mitzvah, lishmor, or to learn the mitzvah, to guard the mitzvah. That means the Marsha says to review it over and over again so we don't forget it, to do the mitzvah, and to teach the mitzvah. So technically, every single mitzvah, there's four covenants on that mitzvah, the four different aspects of the mitzvah itself. Again, to learn it, to guard it, that's to review the mitzvah, to do it, that's the action of it, and to teach it, like the Gemara is going to say. And
And we're going to see that every mitzvah was, we're going to see in the Kenalot now especially, there was a general mitzvah, a general beracha, and a general kelala, and then a specific beracha, and a specific kelala. We'll explain what that means immediately. Let's begin the Gemara. Tanur Rabbanan, we have a braita. We are three lines from the bottom of the Amud. Baruch Bechlal, Baruch Bifrat. There was a general Baruch, that's Baruch Bechlal, and Baruch Bifrat. And there was the specific beracha, arur bichlal, and you had the general arur, then you had the arur bifrat. And then on each one of these items, there was four components, lilmod, ulamed, lishmor, vela'asot. Now let's read Rashi, just to get the understanding of what's taking place over here. Look at Rashi, baruch bichlal, baruch bifrat. Kol ha-berachot v'akelalot. Now incidentally, on the Hargizim and Ar-Eval, there was 11 berachot said that day. 11 berachot followed by, not followed by, but 11 berachot and 11 kelalot. Now she says, "Kol berachot vekelot ne'emru b'har gerizim ar'eval bichlal u'bifrat." There was a general beracha and a prat is a specific. How? Baruch asher yakim et divrei haTorah azot. That's general. Baruch, blessed is the man that keeps his whole Torah. Arur asher lo yakim. Okay, and then the opposite. Curses the man that doesn't keep the whole Torah. Hare bichlal vechol achat veachat bifrat. Baruch ve'arur. Baruch asher lo yaaseh pesel v'masecha. Right, then it was a specific. You know, cursed is the guy that, or blessed is the guy that does not make a molten image or an image of Avodah Zarah. Arur asher yaaseh pesel v'masecha. And cursed is the guy that does make bechen kulan, which means there was a general blessing and a specific blessing. There was for each one of these items. Now the Gemara explains over here that again, like we said, it's both in a general form and in a specific form. Good. Comes the Gemara and says that she lilmodu lamed esvav laasot. These are the four covenants that we came in. Kol mitzvot kulan. Not only the kelalot and hargezim, all the 613 mitzvot, kulan te'onot arba'a ele. You need these four components. Vilimbaditem otam. You got to learn them. Ushmartem la'asotam. You have to guard them. That means you have to review them. That's what the Maharsha says. Uchtim vilimbaditem otam et benechem. And you have to teach them. And of course, la'asotam is you have to do them. So therefore, those are the four components. Harekan arba mitzvot lechol mitzvah. Val arba'atam nimsiru arur ubaruch bichlal ubifrat. Wow. So for each one of the mitzvot, there was a baruch bifrat on all four items, which means blessed is the man that learns the Torah. Blessed is the man that keeps the Torah, guards it. Blessed is the man that fulfills the Torah. Blessed is the man that teaches the Torah. For each single one of the mitzvot, they came into four counters. Baruch Hashem lemedu arur Hashem. Then the opposite of the curses. Cursed is the guy that doesn't learn. Cursed is the guy that doesn't teach. Cursed is the guy that doesn't fulfill. Cursed is the guy that doesn't guard. So v'chen lemed v'chen lemed v'chen lemed v'chol echad arba beritot. Berit lebarech bechlal. Berit lebarech bifrat. Berit la'arur bechlal. Berit la'arur bifrat. So therefore you had over here many covenants. Comes out if you want to. You had 8 and 8. Which means on the klal, you have a baruch bichlal and arur bichlal, right? 4 and 4. Then you have a baruch bifrat and arur bifrat, 4 and 4. So therefore, altogether, the covenant is 16 covenants just on those berachot and the kedalot. Okay, so each one was done specifically. Comes Gemara explains that now. Gemara says, and actually, just to keep note, we still didn't finish the Rashi's and Amud Rishon. Rashi, we're going to have to go back. Rashi's Amud Rishon's applied to the Amud Bet. In any event, the Gemara says like this, Hare Arba, which means there are four commandments associated with every mitzvah. Let's review the four commandments. Lilmod, learn it. Ulamed, that's the teach. La'as, the shmor, that's the guard it. And la'asot. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says, Arba. Now, Arba ve'arba Hare Shmona. Now, four and four. One for the blessings and one for the curses. So that's already brings you to eight. Now look at the way that she learns that. Look at that she arba arba. No, Amud Rishon. That she actually learns it. It's two out of the four items. Arba biritot lilmod ve'arba lilamid. Okay? Four for learning, four for teaching. Hare Shmona. And then the Gemara says, Shmona u'shmona, hare shesh yisre. And then another eight and eight. How is that? As she says, Shmona u'shmona, ha'ika od shmona l'shmor v'la'asot. That's right. You have the shmor, another four, and la'asot, another four for the beracha. And then the shmor v'la'asot for the kelala. Eight and eight, that brings you to 16. It's just another way of saying that altogether was 16. Eight for the berachot and eight for the kelalot. Kelalot bifrat, kelalot bichlal, berachot bifrat, berachot bichlal, four for each item. And therefore that brings you to 16 covenants that we made. So the Gemara says, Shmona u'shmona resh shesh esre. Okay, on each mitzvah. On each mitzvah, 16 covenants were made. V'chen b'Sinai. So too, this was done. We didn't discuss at Har Sinai what we accepted. So the Gemara comes along and says, V'chen b'Sinai. When we got to Har Sinai, we also accepted the Torah in the same way we accepted at Har Gezim Na'avah with 16 covenants for each mitzvah. That she says, "V'chen b'Sinai k'shene emru kolam mitzvot leMoshe." When all the 613 were given to Moshe, natnu kolam ba'arur u'baruch bichlal u'befrat, which means it was given each one in a general and in a specific, and with all the four covenants on each one. And there was another time that this was done. The Gemara says, "V'chen b'arbot Moav." Before we came into Eretz Yisrael, Moshe brought us into the covenant yet another time. Shene emar. Ele devrei berit asher siva Hashem et Moshe. This is the covenant that Hashem commanded to Moshe. Uchtiv ushmartem et devrei berit azot. Look at Rashi on the Amud Rishon. Barbot Moav kishamra li yisrael dechtiv be'ever yadem eres Moav u'il Moshe shne'emar ele devrei berit batar kelalot uberachot ketiv. Which is interesting. This is out of order. The story of Arvot Moav is written after Moshe Rabbeinu tells us that we're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, we're going to stand in Har Gerizim and Har Eivah, there's going to be Berachot and Kedalot. After that, it talks about what happened in Arbot Moav. Now that's out of order. To teach us that the same thing that happened at the Kedalot and the Berachot of Har Gerizim and Har Eivah, the covenant took place at Arbot Moav as well. Alma Kibrit Arbot Moav, Bibrit veKedalot, Kak Berit beHorev de Har Gerizim. ודאר עיבל לא אצליק לתו יקרא דעלה כאה ובאי לי ושמתם את דברי הברית הזאת לא גרס לך. Fine. So therefore comes out, you ended up having over here three times 16, הר סיני, ארבות מואב, הר גדיזים ונער עיבל. How many covenants altogether is that? 48 covenants accepting the Torah. The Gemara says, נמסא ממחד בריתות, Al kol mitzvah u mitzvah. 48 covenants on every mitzvah and mitzvah. Now you have to say, according to this, that on Har Gerizim and Har Eival, it was not only the 11 items that were mentioned, that once already you see that the 11 were mentioned, really we have to say that all of them were mentioned, all the Terek. These are just the ones that Torah specified, but really all the Torah was given at Har Gerizim and Har Eival as well. Again, bringing it to 48, Beritot, 16, 16, and 16. Rabbi Shimon Motzi Har Gerizim v'Har Eival u'machnis oil mo'ed shebamidbar. Okay, so Rabbi Shimon, he takes that Har Gerizim and Har Eival. He doesn't know that that's not part of the equation. The whole Torah was not given Har Gerizim and Har Eival, and he puts instead oil mo'ed. He puts another situation over there. That's oil mo'ed chedashi. Second line, Motzi Har Gerizim. The Fishlo Amar Yeshua Alim Kol HaTorah. According to Rabbi Shimon, he didn't give the whole Torah Har Gerizim like we understood initially. Ela Mitzvot Shepaparasha U'machnis oil mo'ed. After the Mishkan was constructed, Nidbarak Hashem Baruch Hu Moshe Biyishuv, God sat with Moshe Rabbeinu, V'lamdo Kol HaTorah.
So according to Rabbi Shimon, you have Har Sinai, you have oil, Moed, and Arbot. So you have the same 48 cabinets.
Lecture mode on.
He just holds that you take it out of Grizim and Arbot. Now, there's an interesting understanding over here. How do we know, according to the first Shita, that the whole Torah was given Har Grizim and Har Eval? If you look in the Torah, it's only 11 Berachot and 11 Kelalot. So it's based on a principle that says called Davar Shaya Bichlal. The Yatza Min HaKelal Lelamed Lo Lelamed Al Atzmo Yasa and Lelamed Al HaKlal Kulo Yatza. That any item that was part of the general rule that came out, that was Yotze. It did not come out only to teach us about itself, but it came out to teach us about the general rule itself, which means these 11 berachot, they were part of the Tariq Mitzvot. So why did God specify these 11? Kodavashia bichlal, v'yatsa lelamed, and came out to teach us berachot, lo al atzmo yatsa. Didn't come out to teach us specifically about itself, ela lelamed al haklal kulo yatsa. Which means just like these 11 came with the berachot and kelalot, so to all Tariq Mitzvot came with a beracha and a kelalot, which means every single mitzvah had these four components, beracha, kelalot, klal, prat, times four. Comes the Gemara and says, so again, we have a fantastic machloket over here. Do you count Har Gerizim or not? First Shita says, what are the covenants? 16 at Har Sinai, 16 at Arbot Moav, 16 at Har Gerizim and Har Eval. Second Shita, Rabbi Shimon, 16 at Har Sinai, 16 covenants, 16 at Oil Moed, and 16 at Arbot Moav. So what is the machloket between these two rabbis? What is it based on? So comes the Gemara and says, Ubflukta de'ani tane, which is the Bishon et Arkama, are arguing in the following machloket. The Tanya Mehmeh Braita. The Bishmael Omer, Bishmael says, Kelalot ne'emru b'Sinai. Which means, when we got the Torah Har Sinai, initially we got general rules. Kelalot, God gave us the general principles of the Torah. Ufratot bo'il mo'ed. Later on, at Oil Mo'ed, we got the details. Now, what does that mean? We got the generalities in Har Sinai. So, Rashi explains to us a beautiful example. Kelalot ne'emru b'Sinai. See Rashi? See Rashi. B'stam ne'emra Torah b'Sinai. Ve'lo netparshalo. Kegon b'Sinai ne'emar. V'zabachta alav et oloteka ve'et shilamecha. We got a law. Har Sinai Torah says what? You got to build the mizbeah. Bring korban olav, bring korban shilamim. How do you bring Allah? How do you bring a Shilamim? Where do you sprinkle the blood? No details. We just got the generalities. Vino Piresh Matan Damin Ketzad Haktarat Emurim. Right? The fat, the meat. How do you burn it? Vifshet, the skinning of it. Vinituah, Vikalir Shil Allah, the whole of the fact they have to burn the entire Allah. Upsever Vayikrabu El Mu'ed Pirsha. Right? Once we got to Oil Mu'ed, then we got all the details. So according to the Shita, Har Sinai was generalities. We got the raw law without any details. Then the law became explained later on at Oil Moed. And then we continue. The Gemara says that what? Kelalot. I'm reading again the Braita. The Tanya Rabbi Shmuel Omer Kelalot Nemru B'Sinai Fratot Oil Moed. Rabbi Akiva Omer Kelalot Ufratot Nemru B'Sinai. Says no. Rabbi Akiva says the whole Torah was given in detail at Har Sinai. V'nishnu B'Oil Moed. And was given again in all its details in was given yet a third time with all its details in Oil Moed. Look at Rashi. I'm sorry, in Arbot Moav. Mipi Moshe Yisrael. Now, Tanakamas Virale Krebi Ishmael. Hilkak Har Sinai Oil Moed Hadai. Exactly. Which is according to Tanakama, since and a combination at Har Sinai and Oil Moed, we got the Prat and the Klal, so you count Har Sinai and Oil Moed as one covenant, Arbot Moav is the second covenant, and Gerizim and Eival is the third covenant. You can't count Har Sinai and Oil Moed as separate because they are connected. One is Klal and one is the Prat. Is that clear? Again, according to Tanakama, that's for you, outside. According to Tanakama, what were the three times that we received the covenant? Har Sinai, he does not count Oil Moed. You know why? Because Har Sinai and Oil Moed, they complement each other. One's cloud, one's prat. So that's one. Adbot Moab is 2, Gerizim is 3. But according to Rabbi Shimon, he'll go like Rabbi Akiva. That will say, no, Har Sinai is 1. That we got the whole Torah with its Pratim. Oil Moed is 2, because we got the whole Torah with all the Pratim as well. Adbot Moab is 3. And he also, Gerizim, we didn't get the whole Torah over there. We just got the 11 that are mentioned. That's the way we want to square off the Mahalok and Aftar Kama and Rabbi Shimon and the Braita, like the two opinions over here of Rabbi Ishmael and Rabbi Akiva. And there's no mitzvah in the Torah. So every, which is an amazing concept to keep in mind. We didn't accept the Torah once. We accepted the Torah 48 times on each mitzvah. Again, just remember how we did that. 48 times means we accepted it in a blessing. Which means bless the person that keeps the law of Shatnez. Curse the person that keeps the law of Shatnez. And so on. And then bless the one that teaches it. The one that learns it. The one that remembers it. And so on and so forth. And then the general rule. That you know, as a general, all Kleiser keeps it. And then the specific. That the specific person keeps it. So each one has a cloud. Prat times 4. Kilala beraka. So that's 48 times. 16 times. Three different places. That's why I was going to say it's actually even more than that. It's actually 48 covenants times the amount of Jewish people that there were, which is 603,550. Which means, how do you get to that calculation? So Rashi says, look at Rashi. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, Amir, 48 beritot, lechol echad, shel 603,550, kiminyan shayu b'midbar. Right, that was the amount of people that were in the bar. Shekol echad na'ase arev al kol echav. The famous rule of arvut. Not only do we accept the Torah for ourselves, but we accepted to be guarantors that we're responsible for our friends to keep the Torah. So therefore, each person over here of the, we'll call it the 600,000 Jews, but it's really 600,000, the specific number, 603,550 Jews, a specific number, we accepted it for ourselves, and we accepted it for our neighbor, which means we accept the beracha that we're going to keep the Torah. And we also accept upon ourselves that we're responsible. Reuven says, I'm responsible. If Shimon doesn't keep the Torah, I'm responsible as well. So it's really, each Jew accepted the 48 covenants for themselves and for their neighbor. That's the din of Arvut. That clear? We accepted it twice. One for ourselves and one for the rest of Klal Yisrael. So that she says over there, right? He got a sin of Tosefta. Amar Rabbi, the devrei Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, ain't none of come and some such shalom to all the mimchad beritot shel 603,550, which means each person accepted 48 beritot times 600,000. Right? He accepts the beritot for himself. He accepts it for the Uven. He accepts it for Shimon. He has compounded that many more times for the arvut. Yes? Actually, Tosafot gives us the number. You can actually calculate the number.
30 million.
Right, it's about 30 million. That's what comes out. Well, actually, he gives us the number over here. In this sefer over here, he tells us the number basically is. It's. The number he gives you over here, it's 17,758,855,200. I guess that's 17 billion. 758,855,200. That's the way Tosfot counts that. The Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi, ledevre Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ish kfar Ako, sheamar mishum Rabbi Shimon en echa komet v'amazot shematura shelo nechetu ala 48 beritot shel 603,550 nimsa lechol echad v'am Yisrael 603,550. It comes out each covenant was made by each one of the Jews 600,000 times over. The only question is, that's what the first shita said. What is he coming to add? I mean, the first shita, Rabbi Shimon came along and said, it's compounded because each one accepted it for himself and for the other Jew. Comes to Rabbi and says, you should know, according to that shita, Rabbi Shimon, it's really compounded. They're saying the same thing. So, my binayu, amar Rav Mesharshia arba, the arba, the arba ika binayu. Oh. Which means, the first shita says, we only accepted the Torah, I am responsible for myself, and I am a guarantor for every single other Jew that he should keep the Torah itself. So if he doesn't keep the Torah, I'm guilty. Okay, so I accept it for myself, that's the regular din of Arbut. But then you have the din of Arba de Arba. I'm a guarantor for the guarantor. That's a double guarantee we accepted. What's that explanation? So the Mefarshim give a mashal to understand this over here. Let's say over here you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Okay? Reuven has influence over Shimon. So therefore, just like he's responsible for himself, he's responsible for whatever Shimon does. Now, Shimon has influence over Levi. Reuven does not influence over Levi. So the law is going to tell me like this, that Reuven is not going to only be responsible for Shimon, but if he doesn't rebuke Shimon, so he's going to be responsible now for the fact that Shimon could have rebuked Levi, even though he had no connection to Levi. He's going to be responsible for that as well. So he accepted himself Arbut, and Arbut the Arbut. So that's already a much higher number. Now the number that they bring down over here, 605 times 605
times
605. He comes out with the number Tosafot. I'll just give you the number. I don't know how to say the number, but it's 718-357-055-960-000. Okay, so obviously that's how many covenants were accepted when it came to the receiving of the Torah. But I continue that I shall be Nachmani miturgemane de Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Kol parasha kula lo nimra ela benoef venoefet. Now the whole parasha of Haragizim and Arevah, which is the Kelalot and the Berachot, those 11, which we'll list the 11 right now for you, they really were all referring to one specific sin, and that is the sin of adultery. Now we're going to have to figure out ourselves how all 11 are connected to adultery. Let's see, the Gemara says, Arura ish asher yaaseh pesul u'masecha, which means it's as cursed as the guy that worships Avodah Zarah. He makes an image, you know, an image of metal and things like that. So the Gemara says, is that enough? The guy's worshiping Avodah Zarah. That's worse than Arur. The guy's a kofir. The guy deserves much worse than a curse. So the Gemara says, Be'arur sagile? Is that enough just to give the guy a curse? The guy, he defected from the ranks of Judaism. That's not enough to say Arur. So the Gemara says, you know what we're talking about? Elazeh haba ela'irva. It's talking about a guy that committed, let's say, adultery. Okay, what's the child of an adulterous relationship? The Oli Ben. That child is called a Mamzer. The Mamzer don't want to live amongst the Jewish people because he knows he's ostracized. So what does he do? Ve'alak leben ofde kochavim. So he moved out. He moved out to live by the Goyim. Ve'avad avodat kochavim. And now what? Once he lives by the Goyim, what's going to happen to him? He's going to learn from their ways. He worships Avodat Zarah. Arurin abiv ve'imo shel zeh shekach garmulo. Cursed is his parents because they caused him to do it. So when it says Arur Oseh Pesel Masecha, means cursed is the guy that commits adultery. That brings a Mamzer into the world. And the Mamzer doesn't want to live amongst the people because he's ostracized. And he goes to live somewhere else. As a result, worships Avodah Zarah. Who's to blame for that Avodah Zarah? The parents that committed that Avodah. Now we have to go through all 11 to see exactly how this applies, right? One of them, look at Rashi. Rashi's going to tell you all of them. Look at this here. Elazeh haba ala irva. See it? You have to read that Rashi inside. You see it inside? Eshet ish ve'olid mamzer u'metok boshto, he's embarrassed, she'asu labo bekal ve'eno motzi isha hu olech leben ha'goyim ve'omed avodat kem arurim ele she'asu la'avodat peslo maskeh ve'chen dorash et kulan. Kol echad nefi pashte otan shel arayot, which means you have one of them is kegon shochev ibchot tanto, which means one of the isurim over there is cursed is the guy who sleeps with his, who lies with his mother-in-law, okay? Ve'eshet abiv, or sleeps with his wife's father. Ve'im achoto, or sleeps with his sister. Those are three out of the 11. Now Rashi says we have to explain all of them in the context of Ishit Ish. So you have to say that besides the fact that it's the mother-in-law and it's the father's wife and it's the sister, you have to say they were married on top of it. To add the ni'uf to the picture, kulan be'ishet ish, ulmekan betre arure. And he's getting two sins over there. Not only is the sin of incest by the sister, let's say, but she was also married. So if it's a sin of ishet ish. Now, that's a problem in the Rashi because you didn't got to go so far, which means already to create a mamzer, incest is enough to create a mamzer. That's the same old story. The guy's going to create a mamzer and then he made an isur. Why did Rashi have to go to the extent to say that he did two sins? He slept with a sister who's also Eshet Ish. I mean, that's because he wants to explain the whole thing. So I saw they explain over here from different Mefashim another interpretation over there. He says over here, it means over here, he says over here like this. Rashi says over here, it's referring to a cohabitating with a woman who was both his sister, father's wife, mother-in-law, and a married woman. But such an explanation seems needlessly complicated, given the fact that the child of any of these three women is a mamzer, even regardless. So he has that question. That's on number 689. The way he explains it over here, deal with forms of forbidden cohabitation, refers to one who comes with a married woman, who is also his father's wife, his sister, mother, respectively. Such a man is doubly cursed. One for begetting a son who will be forced to worship idols, and one for the sin of incest. Okay, so you get the two sins of it. Number one, because the kid's going to be a mamzer and go worship Avodah Zarah, like we said in the first one. And number two, he committed the incest. And then, what's the next one? Arush shochev im kol behema. Cursed is the person that lies with an animal. How's that adultery? So that she says, eshet ish, she'asta ma'aseh behema. She didn't actually sleep with an animal. She's an eshet ish, she's an adulteress, but she's doing the act of an animal. So the animal sleep with anybody. So too, she's acting like a animal. Shemina efet, okay, that she committed zeznut. Makle abi ve'imo. Cursed is the man that shames his mother and father. Habal eshet ish. If a person commits adultery, what does he do? Mezazel b'abi ve'imo. Shegidelo gidolim ra'im bebetam. Right? Which is, he casts aspersions on his upbringing. What do the people say when a person commits adultery? Well, look at his upbringing. Look at his father and mother, because they raised him. So that's considered shaming his mother and father. So even the curse is the man that shames his mother and father by committing adultery. Meshgeh iver. Cursed is the man that puts a stumbling block or leads a blind person to go astray, to go off the road. How is that adultery? So that she says, Mefateh eshet ish. She soma bedavar, which means he seduces eshet ish, a married lady. She's blind, which means she's easily seduced. So he leads her astray to commit the sin. Vena yodat oncha kamu, which means she doesn't realize that she's going to get punished as well. Masi gevul de'ayu. Cursed is the man that encroaches on his friend's property. That's obvious adultery. How's that? Baal eshet baal ishto. Right, he encroaches and takes his friend's wife. He took his friend's property. Cursed is the man that damages his friend in hiding. He strikes his fellow stealthily, which means he does it in a hidden way. What's that mean? So that's, he explains over here, Gorem lo belahashes tarav shetamut bibdikat mayim ambarim, which means he's going to cause the guy to die with the mayim hamarim, which means as a result of the adultery, the lady goes to the Beit HaMikdash, she's going to drink the waters, and as a result of drinking the waters, going to cause the lady to die. So he did it in a tricky way, which means by him committing adultery, he actually was makir e'u basetr. He caused that guy's wife now to die as a result of the waters. Right? That's the way he explains it over here, stealthily. He says, because with his stealthy committed act, he caused the adulteress to have drink the bitter waters and die. The next item is, cursed is the man that takes bribery. Arur Lokeyach shochad. I'm in the third line of Rashi. Lokeyach shochad leakot nefesh. He takes bribery in order to kill somebody. Lokeyach shochad liyot okev achad menaef v'liftot lo eshet ish. He takes a bribe. There's a guy that takes a bribe that seduces the man to commit eshet ish.
the guy accepted the bribe, but he says, go to the guy, do it, don't worry, it's good, don't worry, you'll enjoy it. So he's accepting a bribe in order to seduce a guy to commit adultery. And it ends up bringing death to the brother, causes the lady to die. Matem mishpat ger yatom, curses the man that tilts the scales of a judgment of a yatom, of an orphan, or a convert. Rashi concedes over here. Rashi says, I don't know how that's talking about adultery over there. In all the other cases, I can create a scenario where it's connected to Zlut. When it came to the Gerin Yatom, Rashi concedes over here. He says, I do not have an interpretation to this. Good. So he says over here, he writes over here from Tosfot Arosh, the Tosfot Shantz. Cursed is the one who perverts judgment, convert of a widow. Seems impossible to explain that she's at a loss. Tosfot Shantz would suggest the following. Because of his shame and not being able to find a wife, the adulterer's Mamzer's sons travel to a distant land. There he is a stranger. He is for all practical purposes an orphan, because his father does not own up to having fathered him. So therefore, he's a ger and he's a yatom. Father committed adultery, had the kid. Kids in Mamzer. He don't want to live in the Jewish community. What does he do? He goes, lives out of the community. So technically he's a ger. And technically he's an orphan, even though his father's alive, because his father don't want to know from him. So therefore, cursed is the guy that causes a situation where the guy's a ger and the yatom, because this is an adulterous relation. In any event, that's the Gemara's Shita over here, that all those items that were said at Argizimar Eval are all connected to the one sin of Ni'uf. Comes to Gemara and says, Tanur Banan, we have a Braita. Says, you're going to give the curse Berachot on Har Gerizim. Doesn't mean on Har Gerizim. We learned facing Har Gerizim is the Berachot, and facing Har Eval was the Kelalot. Comes to Gemara and says, Matamudomar. What is the Pasuk saying? Im Talim Lelamed. If it's to teach me where the Berachot was said, that the Berachot were on Gerizim and the Kelalot on Eval, we know that already. Ele ya'amdu lebarechet ta'am al har Gerizim, uchti ve'ele ya'amdu ala kelalot b'har Eval. We know that already. You don't need two pesukim to tell me that the Berachot were by Gerizim and the Kelalot were by Eval. It is redundant. So what do you need that pasuk for? El lagdim berachal leklala. Oh, so that pasuk is telling me, no, the Berachot came first. First you did the Berachot, and then you did the kala, which was when the pasuk says, it's not giving you a placement, it's giving you order. First beracha, then kala. Yaakol yukola berachot kodmot the kalalot. Oh, did you say all 11 berachot and then all 11 kalalot? Was it 11 and then 11? No, Tamud Omar, beracha uklala. The pasuk says, one beracha, one kalala. Beracha ahat kodem ed kalala, ve'en kol haberachot kodem ed kalalot. Which means, one beracha preceded the kalala, but not all the berachot. So then we did one beracha, one kalala. You did the positive, then the negative. The positive, then the negative. Yeah, ulakish beracha uklala. And also we're going to make a kesh between the way the blessings were given and the way the curses were given. No malecha. Ma kalala bilviim. Just like the levim, they delivered the curses. Af beracha bilviim. So to the berachot were delivered by the levim. Just like the kelalot were given in a loud voice, so to the berachot were given in a loud voice. And just like the kelalot were given in Hebrew, lashon hakodesh, just like we learned that the kelalot were given in a general, right, for the general mass, and then was given in a specific. So to the berachot bechlal ubefrat umakelala. Elu ve'elu onim ve'omrim amen. Just like by the kelalot, both sides answered amen. The tribes of Gerizim and Eval, they accepted by saying amen. Af berachot elu ve'elu onim ve'omrim amen. Look at the Rashi. Just let's finish these. Rashi's over here. Yachol kol haberachot kulan kodmot the kelalot. Do you think that you should make all the berachot before the kelalot? Shigmiru kol haberachot. You should finish all the berachot ad baruch asher yakim ve'haka kiftor bekelala. Like b'shur hakodesh kedafinu kol mimoshim. Which is all these items we learned earlier. It says the word called by the Kelalot. It says the word called by Moshe. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu was Bekol Ram, so to the Kelalot of Har Gerizim Zar Bar Eval. Once already we're connecting Kelalot to Berakot, just like the Kelalot of Bekol Ram, so to the Berakot of Bekol Ram. And just like the Kelalot, everybody answered Amen to them, so to the Berakot. Which means we're making a hekesh that the Kelalot and Berakot all have the same dinim. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.